So I thought it would be worthwhile to emphasize just how staggering the size of the incoming and current, really, supply shortages are. And this is all going on around the world. This isn't exclusive to just the West. This is a worldwide phenomenon now. So this is something that is going to be a running problem for the next couple of years at the very least. And this is, of course, consequences of all of the lockdowns in response to COVID. There are parts of China. Obviously, China is a large producer of many goods, and they are still locked down pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. You've got massive deficit spending to pay for the lockdowns in the first place, along with an unparalleled amount of money being printed, which of course is going to increase inflation. Mm-hmm. We've got sanctions against Russia, and of course the disruption of food production in Ukraine and Russia, Ukraine being so-called the breadbasket of Europe.
Yep.
This is all being disrupted because of the Russian invasion. Mm-hmm. So there is a multitude of different factors that are compounding to make this a really significant crisis. And it's very worthwhile for people to understand what is actually going on here. Mm. So first and foremost, I came across many morons on the internet.
And there are many, where you many often, morons.
You often find them,
yeah.
Blaming it on Brexit, worldwide food shortages.
Oh, for goodness sake, yes. Get out of your echo chamber. That's just pathetic.
There are also people in the US saying that it's some kind of conspiracy, perhaps by Joe Biden or by the World Economic Forum. However, however powerful each of those parties are, I would be very surprised if they were powerful enough to spark worldwide shortages all around the world. Covertly, more or less. Mm. I mean, it seems
it's
to me...
It's a bit of a reach, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
I know it's convenient to attribute these bad things to a single factor, but I think fundamentally you have to go with a multifactorial analysis here.
Yes, and I think that all of those things alone are enough to create this situation. However, you know, I can understand why people would be skeptical of these two forces that are out to get them, of course.
I remember reading towards the start of the pandemic, there was a book that came out called Doom by Niall Ferguson, who was basically warning that the knock-on effects from the pandemic are likely to be at least as catastrophic as the pandemic itself, and no one seems to have guessed.
Yes, well...
Because while you're dealing with the pandemic, people don't stop to think, hang on, what are all of the other disasters that can happen, like war, famine, et cetera, et cetera?
Pestilence. It's like the Four Horsemen, isn't it?
It is.
So talking of morons, Joe Biden blames the Russia's war in Ukraine for food supply shortages and price hikes. And although this is obviously one factor, his own actions while in government are also very key to this. And I think just blaming it on that one factor is a very limited analysis of the situation.
Yeah, and the classic thing is that inflation in America has risen by 0.5% thereabouts since the start of the war in Russia, whereas it had risen 8% since the start of Biden's tenure.
Yeah. So Biden did praise American farmers, and the US is in a particularly good situation food-wise because they only import 15% of their food. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is produced domestically, although domestic farmers are still encountering some problems, which we'll get into. This next article from The Week explains, from fertilizers to famine, the global food shortage explained. And I'm just going to read some of the breakdowns of how the war in Ukraine contributes to this. So Ukraine and Russia, both some of the most fertile land on earth, both are major agricultural producers, particularly of wheat, maize, barley, and sunflower oil. Together they grow about 15% of the world's wheat, but account for 30% of global wheat exports. Ukraine alone supplies about 50% of the global market for sunflower oil. In addition, Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus produce much of the world's fertilizer supply, which of course is important for the rest of the world growing their own food as well.
I was talking about Belarus and potash back in October, I think.
I know, yes. And
amazing how that's come around.
The media is finally catching up, it seems. Prices for all these goods had already been trending upwards due to COVID-19, as well as fuel price rises that increased the cost of food production and shipping, which is spot on. Now the war has stopped most food exports from Russia and Ukraine, pushed up oil prices further, and disrupted global supply chains. As a result, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization reported in March that global food prices had risen their highest recorded level. Cereals have gone up 40% since last March, cooking oils 55%, and meats 20%.
Gosh.
So this is massive, isn't it? This is kind of terrifying, really.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't think people really grasp at all how serious mm-hmm. this could get.
Absolutely. So it goes on to say that Ukraine banned exports of wheat and other foods last month to secure its own wartime supplies. But at this point, it can't really export anyway because Russian warships are blocking access to its Black Sea ports. Mm-hmm. And they've also destroyed the port infrastructure.
Well, there's a very interesting thing which happened here. At the start of the week, I think it was a gentleman from the EU was making a speech after a visit to Odessa saying he's seen the grain warehouses, all of the food that needs to make it out to the rest of the world. And so therefore the Russian blockade must be broken. And not 7 hours later, there were seven missile strikes on Odessa, presumably on those warehouses, because the Russians presumably wanted to remove the motive to break mm-hmm. the Russian blockade and, in other words, get NATO involved in a war.
That EU guy was responsible for that?
No, of course not. He didn't launch the missiles, but it's one of those curious events that mm-hmm. I noticed.
So yes, this is a worldwide phenomenon. So Australia has a diabetes medication shortage, which is obviously horrific. You've got things in North Korea, so it's not just the Western world.
Gosh.
It's not unlike North Korea to have food shortages, but...
They had a terrible famine in the 90s, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And you've got places like Tunisia having to raise prices for some foodstuffs after farmer protests. And I think they've got a bit of a command economy going on there. And also worthwhile mentioning is that the Sri Lankan president has to name a new prime minister, as the prime minister had to resign because of economic crises. And they also torched ministers' homes and they pushed government ministers' cars into lakes. But if you want to know more about this, make sure to check out my coverage of the what's going on in Sri Lanka tomorrow. So moving on to some other more general shortages, there is a worldwide coffee bean shortage, so I'm afraid your morning coffee might be a bit more expensive. And of course rising fuel prices as well doesn't help. In terms of airlines and things of that nature, British Airways chief has to overhaul his management and staff because there were shortages of both staff and there are lots of flight cancellations. They don't even, moving on to an article by The Telegraph, passengers have been instructed to pack a plane picnic because there are shortages which hits in-flight meals, staff shortages, that is.
So in one sense, I could see this could be amazing, but then there's part of me just knowing that I'm going to end up sitting next to the person who has the world's smelliest vindaloo packed in their luggage. Oh, God.
Yes, it's got so bad for airlines. I mean, boo-hoo, who really cares? But EasyJet has started removing seats from some of its planes, presumably to cut costs. And even when it comes to producing planes itself, wire connector shortages hamper 737 production.
Wow.
So they're not even able to produce as many planes. So that's just one industry that seems to be having to downsize to accommodate for this increasing cost of pretty much everything. And of course, they're very dependent on the cost of fossil fuels because, you know, aeroplanes and such. So there's also the fact that it's affecting tech as well. Stellantis chief warns of battery shortages as car makers switch to electric. And Nissan as well reports that the fact that there are car part shortages for building their cars, so there will be some kind of car shortage as well.
Yep, this has been rumbling since at least February.
And then we move on to the United States, and perhaps one of the most alarming is that the US faces a baby formula crisis as the shortage worsens. And I've seen lots of images of people showing pictures in your supermarkets, not that you call them that, warning people that there is a limit to how many you can purchase per customer. And just as alarmingly, there is also a cream cheese shortage. I know. This is in the United States. Here's a picture of a sign. I know. How are the Americans going to cope? But more alarmingly, there is also a diesel shortage. This is a screenshot of a message that has been broadcast to lots of truckers, basically listing off some of the states where it's difficult to find diesel, which of course is catastrophic for supplying
for everything.
Things. Yes.
If you can't get the stuff to the supermarket shelves, then you have a shortage of everything, effectively.
Absolutely. And even if, you know, they get fuel, the limitations of you know, there not being enough to go around is going to push up the cost of transporting it in the first place.
Which will then be a knock-on cost for everything you're buying.
Yes. So, moving on, farmer warns of higher prices and food shortages coming soon. This is in the United States again. So it says, this is a US-based farmer. This year I've already exceeded last year's budget for fertilizer, of course, mm-hmm. as we mentioned before. This is due to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories that farmers, I think, in this country, some of them are actually not using their fertilizer to grow wheat or things like that. But because fertilizer is so expensive, they're actually making a profit by selling it to farmers who are growing wheat who do mm-hmm. need it. Things like that, which is just mental.
I know, yeah. So John Post says his costs have gone up across the board. So even though he is selling wheat, cotton and corn at higher prices, the budget is not balancing out like it should. And I quote here, the fertilizer price took every hope of a profit out of there and added cost to it. Mm. He said about his wheat crop, the rising price of corn will lead to higher prices for many other items made with corn byproducts. He says it's not even the worst part, though. It is also animal feed, right? Cows, chickens, pigs, all that stuff, he clarified. So you're talking about a product that the supply of and lack thereof has a huge impact on our country. So, yes, mm-hmm. this is massive. Mm.
And I think until recently, China was basically buying up huge amounts of American corn and crops.
Yes.
They've got actually quite a large stockpile, I think, mm-hmm. relative to the rest of the world of food.
Yes, they do. I mean, I'm amazed that other powers weren't preparing when we were all locked down, but there we go. So yes, this isn't just a problem in the United States, but also the UK. The Independent reports the UK is sleepwalking towards food shortages, farmers warn, which is of course for many of the same reasons as everywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. And what is the UK government doing, you might ask?
How about absolutely sod all?
Worse than that.
Taxing us more?
They have set up a scheme, apply for a lump sum payment to leave or retire from farming.
Oh, yes, this is their...
And they set this up last month, yeah.
Isn't this part of their rewilding initiative?
Yeah, their green initiative.
To stop us using our countryside for farming and producing food so that we can have, like, pretty rural parks to go walking in.
Well, we're going to have a lovely environment to starve in later on, aren't we? So, yes, moving on to some of the stuff going on in the UK, which isn't necessarily... typical to the UK, but just emblematic of some of the shortages. There are shortages of blood pressure pills and painkillers as drug producers face supply chain crises. Yes, and also Boots, Superdrug and other chemists report hay fever pill shortage right in the middle of, you know, hay fever season. Mm-hmm. And just to illustrate that it's also true on the local level, Derbyshire pharmacies battle medication shortages amid supply issues as well. So, So in Derby, it's not looking good either. Mm-hmm. So not only that, but there is a HRT crisis. Shortage has caused women to have, apparently, or a woman here, to have a panic attack.
Gosh.
Because she hasn't had the hormones to counteract her menopause. Mm. Of course, the stunning, brave transgender people, I'm sure, will be first in the line to get their hormones, won't they? Whilst actual biological women are, of course, pushed back.
Back of the queue. Which letter do you stand for again? Ain't no W in LGBTQ.
So, yes, in terms of food, there's also going to be an egg shortage, apparently, according to Wales Online. And also there is, as if the...
Is that related to the shortage in HRT?
Oh, no.
Sorry, that was... Why did you put it in that order?
It wasn't the best segue, was it? But yes, on top of this, there is also a massive salmonella outbreak in one of Britain's biggest suppliers. So there is a great chicken shortage as well. Oh. So
what do we run out of first, the chicken or the eggs?
Apparently both at the same time. So yes, also there are going to be tomato shortages, according to The Grocer. Mm-hmm. .co.uk. So yeah.
Usually I imagine a good source for groceries.
Yes. Not only that, but worst of all, swimming pool is closed because of a chlorine shortage.
Oh no.
So even your recreation is being damaged. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is pretty horrific stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard in these segments to actually get across the scale of this because it's so many different things. It's like tens of thousands of different products that are short or expensive or in crisis across the economy. And then there will be individual cases like with the airlines where you can look at one economy and see actually when you add up all of these changes, it's a huge challenge. Huge
challenge. Yes, and that's what I've tried to do. This is just kind of a sliver off of the top of the extent to which this is a catastrophe. And this could have all been avoided. I mean, we didn't have to go down this route. I mean, we didn't have to lock down. We didn't have to place sanctions which damaged us against Russia. There are lots of things we could have done to mitigate against it. This is a catastrophe that has a political cause.
This is a man-made catastrophe.
Yes, this could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. And just make sure to be prepared. Save your money, save food, save fuel, and expect the worst.
And if you are particularly worried, we did do a podcast, a Contemplations About Survivalism and Prepping.
Yes, we did. So make sure to check out the contemplations I did about prepping on the website.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the Contemplation series, this one between Josh and Thomas, on existentialism. And if you want to follow Josh, you can follow him on Getter at @Josh_firm on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.